right, I want to take just a moment to introduce our guest speaker this morning. His name is Eric Hunter. Eric is the BSM director at WT and Amarillo College, and he's doing a great work there. He's starting his fourth year here, and it's one of the ministries that we as Living Water, you, get to partner with, and the great work that they are doing on the campus here and in Amarillo. So we have the privilege of having him here to share with us a little bit this morning. But before he comes, I'm going to ask Marcelo to come, and we are going to celebrate baptism together this morning.
Good morning, folks. Hey, Miss Kate, would you mind coming up here? I want to introduce you, Miss Kate Daniels. She is one of our youth who approached me one Sunday morning and was asked to be baptized. And I asked Miss Kate, I said, why do you want to be baptized? Got to ask them that, make sure they know what they're doing. And she came up to me and she said, I think the Lord's doing a work in my life because I've seen it and it's evident. And I know that he calls me to be baptized as a believer. And so this is something that she wanted to do all on her own. And so I can take your glasses for you. And so, Miss Kate, I have one simple question for you. Have you placed your faith in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Yes? All right. So with your public profession of faith, Miss Kate, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in his death, and raised to walk a new life. Congratulations. Okay. It's warm, huh?
Yep.
There you go. All right.
What a way to start, right? Praise God for that. It is so good to be with you this morning. As David said, my name is Eric Hunter. I have just the joy and the privilege of serving as the BSM Baptist Student Ministry Director at WT. And we have six staff members all together, our staff and our team. And so we do BSM ministry at WT, also at Amarillo College. We also partner with churches in Clarendon to reach students at Clarendon College, and then in Borger at Frank Phillips College. We're starting stuff this year at the Amarillo College East Campus, Amarillo College West Campus, and Amarillo College Hereford Campus. Praise God for that, right? And so we're so thankful that God has placed us there. Now, as a BSM ministry, we're really focused on three things. We want to love the campus by sharing the gospel. We want to lead students into a deeper and sanctifying walk with Christ. And then we want to launch them onto the campus, into the community, into churches, and then prepare them and launch them to whatever God has for them after college. And so I am so thankful to be there. And I'm thankful for you guys. Living Water is one of just our key partner churches. We're thankful for you guys as a ministry that 100% depends upon alumni and churches and believers to come alongside of us to help support us financially. You guys are a big part of that. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for doing all that you do to make it possible for us to minister. And BSM is especially thankful. I'm thankful for it. It's so good in my life. I came onto the WG campus as a freshman. I didn't really grow up in church, and as a freshman, I placed my faith in Jesus through the BSM ministry, and it's so just humbling and cool that I get to lead this ministry now. Now, this morning, we're going to be in Acts 1, and so if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn it to Acts 1. I'm going to share kind of twofold. We're going to look at the scripture, and we're going to look at what it has for us in Acts 1, but I'm also going to give you just a glimpse and some updates into what God is doing through BSM ministry at WT. Now, before we read this passage in Acts, I want to give you a little bit of context. This is going to be the final words that Jesus is going to give to those around him before he departs. So Jesus has come, he's lived for 33 years, three of those. He ministered, he served, he miraculously did all kinds of things. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. He was crucified, he was killed, he was buried, he was placed in a tomb. 3 days later, he was resurrected. defeating death. He walked on the earth for 40 days. And this passage here is the final things that he's going to say to those around him, his disciples and other believers. And then for us, the last things that Jesus said while he was on earth. Now we know that final words are really important, right? A couple weeks ago, my wife, who was here with me, we took our youngest daughter down to College Station and we dropped her off there. We left her. It's scary, right? As a parent, you parents have done that, you know. And so she was nervous. And so we sat there in her apartment and we kind of encouraged her. And she cried and we cried a little bit. And it was those final words, hey, you're going to do it. You've got this. And we said, do this and don't do this. And we gave her those final words. And we know that those are so important. So what is God incarnate, Christ? What are his final words that he's going to say to us here in Acts? Read with me. We're going to start in verse 4, and I'm reading from the CSB version, if it's a little different than what you have in front of you. It says, while he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel to Israel at this time? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Will you pray with me? God, we do thank you for this morning. God, how good and how sweet it is to come and be in community with one another, to sing songs to you for about who you are, about what you have done. God, we pray this morning as we look briefly at your word, God, we pray that you would challenge us. God, that you would open our hearts. God, I know for each one of us, there's something that you want to speak to us and do in our lives. And so I pray that we would come with a posture of openness. And God, you would have your way and that you would speak, so that you would be honored and glorified. God, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would teach us wondrous things from your law. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at the time of Jesus, the Jews and even the disciples who had started following him, they were a lot like we can be sometimes. They over and over again completely missed the point. Even now, after they spent all this time with Jesus and he had talked about how he's going to build his kingdom and he's going to do a work, they were still confused. Even if you look here, they ask, is it now? Is it now? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to? They thought that Jesus was coming. He was going to set them free from Rome and from the political oppression, that he was going to once again restore them to a great kingdom. And that's what they thought, even after spending all of this time with Jesus. And he reminded them again, this is not the thing that I have come here to do. And he refocuses their attention back to what he did come to do. And that's that he is building a kingdom. And he's reminding them and telling them is that you as believers, even us today, that we play a crucial role in God's kingdom as he builds it, that we are called to be bold witnesses as he does that. Now, as Jesus says these final remarks that are recorded for us here in Acts, this is not something new. This is not kind of a new plan that Jesus kind of thrust on them as he was about to leave. This has been the plan all along. Really, even this has been God's plan before the foundation of the earth. If you look at the Bible, the Bible is one complete story. From Genesis to Revelation, from cover to cover, it is the story of there is a God who has a people, and he wants to redeem these people to himself, to bring them back into a relationship with himself. We see that in Genesis 1, that God created us. He created us to have a relationship with him as people that are made in his image. He created us to walk with him. We see that with Adam and Eve in the beginning. They walked with God. They had a relationship with him. There was intimacy there. And for all of us, that's what we're created to do, to have a relationship with Christ. But we see as we continue to read in Genesis that Adam and Eve, they sinned. And when they sinned, there is a great chasm or a void that happened, that sin separates us from God. And we're still living in that today, that we are separated from God because of our sin. And we seek after all of these things that try to fill us and satisfy us and bring us purpose and bring us meaning. But it's only through a relationship with Christ, which is what we are created to have, do we find those things. And so God's plan throughout the scripture is to bring people back into the theme that we were created to do, which was to have a relationship with Jesus. And we see this all throughout the scripture, and I only have like 25 minutes, so I don't have time to go through all of it. But it starts in Genesis 12, where he goes to Abraham and he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you a people. And through you, Abraham, all the peoples are going to be blessed. And we see in every book of the Bible, there's this theme. The grand biblical narrative, as theologians call it, which is God's desire and plan just to bring people to himself, to bring a kingdom. And as we read in 1 John 1, and John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that was a statement that had been thousands of years in the making, that there would be one who would come, who would be the final sacrifice to restore people back to Jesus. 1 John 2:2 says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of the entire world. And this is what Jesus is refocusing his disciples. He's refocusing the believers around. And my prayer this morning is that this scripture would refocus our hearts as followers of Christ. Even as a church, that God has a redemptive purpose and that we have a part in that we are called to be bold witnesses. Now this passage and four others all in the gospel are what we call Great Commission passages. The Great Commission, the charge that God has given to us, the church. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China a couple hundred years ago, said this. He said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. See, the reality is if you're a follower of Christ, if you have placed your faith in Christ, if you have received that free gift that God gives, then you have been given this task to be a bold witness. Now this task, the Great Commission, it's not just for missionaries, it's not just for pastors or small group leaders, deacons, elders, it is for all of us. We've all been called to do this. To be a part of God's kingdom advancement, missions, as God redeems people for his glory and for our good. And sometimes, I know I do, we need a reminder, don't we? I know for me, I need a reminder about most things. I forget things really quickly. And we need a reminder. We need a reminder that the reality is that all of us are sinful. We're all separated from God because of that sin. But Christ came and he died. Like I said, he walked for 33 years. He was crucified. And when he was crucified, he bore the punishment that you and I deserve because of our sins. And he paid the penalty so that if we place faith in him, God, I accept your gift. I believe in you that we are forgiven and that we enter into a relationship with Christ. For some of us who, like me, have been in church for a while, we need a reminder. As John 14:6 says, that you are, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to Christ through any other way. For you and for me, for your neighbors, for your family, for college students on our campuses, for all of our students at our high schools and middle schools, elementary schools, for everyone in our community, and for the people in the deepest, darkest corners of the world. Christ is the only way to find God, the only way to be reconciled with God, the only way to have true peace and happiness and purpose on life. Now, they tell us right now that there are 8.2 billion people in the world. And 8.2 billion people who all face the same fate, that if we live our lives and don't receive the free gift that God gives us through eternal life, that if we don't accept Christ's offer of salvation to have our sins forgiven, that we will spend eternity apart from God. Every 2 seconds, someone passes away. I know even in this church yesterday, there's two funerals that this church was a part of, and all over the world, there's two people every second that slip away from this life into eternity, and the question is, where will they spend that eternity? We know that for the majority of them, sadly, that they will spend eternity apart from Christ because they have yet to place faith in Christ. Every second, another two, and another two, and another two. Now, in my context with college students in the U.S., in the Texas panhandle, we see that the stat is that 90 to 95% of college students are not actively involved in church on a week-to-week basis. 95% of them, right? And that's not a stat from New York or the Northeast or Northwest, New England, right? That's not in those other places. No, that's the stat here, right where we're at, in what we would probably consider the Bible Belt, that 90 to 95% are not actively involved in church. I would say that college students are most likely the largest unreached population segment in our country. And I would argue that they are the most strategic mission field that we have to reach college students. Now, I went to WT, and after I graduated from WT, I've spent time in Boston, in Oklahoma. We served about a decade serving as IMB church planting missionaries in Indonesia and then in Central Asia. And I'm so thankful that God has brought us back here to WT to be missionaries on what I would consider probably the one of those most strategic and necessary mission fields in America, the college campus. Let me tell you kind of a secret. I know college students get a bad rap, right? God is doing an amazing thing among college students right now across our country. The students are more open, more eager, more receptive to having spiritual conversations than they have been in decades. Over the last couple of weeks, we as a BSM ministry, we've been a little busy. We really go hard the first couple of weeks, and so some of our even staff, right, and leadership team, you would agree, right? It was a busy, I'm getting the head nods. It was a busy 2 weeks. Over the course of about a week and a half, we had 16 events as a BSM ministry. 16 events, including things like a karaoke night, a dollar steak night, where we served about 500 steaks for a dollar to college students. We had a trivia night. We had a slip and slide kickball, which college students, it was fun. They absolutely loved. We had a big dance. We also served every week we have a free lunch. We call it Flow Free Lunch on Wednesday. And that first week, we served about 350 students at that lunch. Now, let me clarify that. You guys, Living Water Church, served 350 students. So we are so thankful for you for supporting us. You guys, like I said, you guys support us. And also, every semester, you guys cook a meal for hungry college students. And that first one, we served 350 students, right? I do want to take a minute. I'm thankful for your pastor, for Shane. He's a good guy, good friend of mine. Thankful for you, love you. I just want to say there's not many pastors who would stay up the entire night to smoke pork butt for 350 college students, and he did. And so we appreciate him. I know you know how great of a leader and pastor he is, and so we appreciate him too. But we did all of these things the first week because we want to connect with college students. As we have all these students that are coming and being a part of the things that we're doing, we're seeing that they have just an openness to spiritual things. They want something that's real. They want something that they can invest their lives into. And our ministry is focused on really one thing. We are focused on sharing the gospel. We are focused on evangelism. We see ourselves as strategic partners with churches like yours and others in the Amarillo Canyon area that we want to focus on evangelism and gather students and get them into community and mobilize them to be on the campus and then send them into your churches. And so we see ourselves as an extension of you guys focused on sharing the gospel. There's two things within BSM that we say that we really want to see happen. We want to see students go from bubbled to bold in a semester. And what that means is we want to see students who have kind of grown up in church and are Christians, and they come, and we want to see them be bold witnesses for Christ. Going from just having some Christian friends to allowing God to use them in powerful ways. And we're seeing that happen over and over again. One of the other things that we want to see, and one of our goals, is that we want to see students go from lost, apart from Christ, from lost to laborer in a year, where they're joining us and boldly sharing the gospel. I could tell you so many stories about what God's doing through our BSM ministry. And there's a few that I jotted down as we see students go from bubble to bold and lost to laborer in a year. Like I said, we do a lot of things every week. We do free lunch. We do a Thursday night worship. One of my favorite things that we do each week is we do something called impact training on Fridays. And we gather students and we teach them how to share the gospel. We teach them how to overcome common objections. We teach them how to be bold witnesses for Christ. And we do that from 12 to 1, and then at 1 o'clock each week, we go on campus and we divide up into two and we go out and we share the gospel boldly. And it's so good to see so many of our students who have grown up in church, and they come to the first week, or they come at some point in the semester, and you can tell they're scared, right? Because they're coming to an evangelism thing, they know, and it's so good to see these students just go on campus and have that courage and be able to step outside of their comfort zone and to share the gospel. Even this last week, we had a new freshman come, and it was so good to see her go out on campus. When we said, hey, okay, who's going to go out on campus? And you could tell she was kind of nervous. She raised her hand, put it down. She's like, no, I'll go. And we put her with someone else who's been doing it for a couple years, and they went on campus, and they had great gospel conversations. Last year, we had a student come, and I think we had connected with her during our first week at one of our 16 events that we do, and we had connected with her, and so she had started coming every once in a while to our Thursday night or our free lunch. And so one of our students, one of our core students, and one of our students on leadership team had connected with her and had started to just share with her. And this girl was coming, and she was just hearing the gospel. And she, before that, she was an atheist. She didn't believe in God. And one of our students just started befriending her and started sharing faithfully with her. Right, Audrey? So giving a shout out to you. And so Audrey just started sharing faithfully with this girl. And after a couple of months, she placed faith in Christ as she wrestled with all of these things and with all of these different, before she was an atheist, and she's like, I don't see how science and the Bible can come together. And they just contradict, and God opened her eyes and helped her see. And so she came to faith, and then Audrey started meeting with her, and they became roommates. And Audrey started discipling her and poured into her and teaching her what it means to walk with Jesus. And then every spring break, we take a trip to South Padre Island. And we've been doing it since 1980. We go down there, and there is about 20, 30, 40,000 college students every single year that go down there to party and drink and have a good time. And we go down there to give them rides and to serve them and to share the gospel with them. And every year we see hundreds go from death to life as they place faith in Christ. And so last year, this girl, new believer, we said, hey, you should come with us. And she's like, okay. And for 5 weeks before, we trained them how to share the gospel, how to turn conversations very quickly on a short van ride to Jesus. And so this girl was on my van. And I remember one of the first nights just sitting back there and hearing this new believer talk to people and hearing her share about her faith. And at one point, this girl got on and she said, yeah, I'm not a Christian. I don't really believe in that. I believe in science. And the girl was like, me, I did too. But let me tell you what God did in my life. And let me tell you how God has changed me. And she got to share the gospel with this girl who was right where she was 4 or 5 months ago. This last week on Monday, we were just doing first day of school pictures out at the fountain on campus there. And a girl had her bike and she rode up and she's like, what are you doing? And we're like, we're taking first day of school pictures. Do you want one? She's like, sure. And so we were also at that point, we were doing spiritual surveys. Hey, tell us your spiritual background. And we're asking. And so one of our staff members started talking with her, right? Started sharing with her. She walked with her to class. And after about 15 minutes, one of our staff members, Marissa, a lot of you know her, said, what's keeping you right now from placing faith in Christ? And the girl said, nothing. And right there, the first day of school, we saw a young girl place faith in Christ. I believe that there is a direct correlation between the amount that we share the gospel and the amount of people that come to Christ. There's a direct correlation. If we as individuals, if we as a church are not being bold witnesses, then we're not going to see as many people come to Christ. And I know it can be overwhelming. I know it can be scary. But Jesus says here, it's just assumed if we look here. Look with me back in verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. It's just assumed that as us as believers that we're going to do this. Statistics tell us, and people that do this research tell us, that only 2% of Christians will invite a non-Christian to church in a given year. Now, that's not saying someone else that goes to church, like, hey, you should come check out my church. No, people that are apart from Christ, that haven't placed faith in Christ, only 2% of us will invite a non-Christian to church in a given year. And this next one just breaks my heart. Because when I see people come to faith, and when I'm able to sit down with someone and share the gospel with them and talk about how God loves you and he has a plan for you, and if you would turn to him and he'll forgive your sins, he'll adopt you into your family, you will have new life, you're a new creation. When you see that happen, there's so much joy. Like, there's no greater joy apart from us coming to Christ than to see someone else go from death to life. 95% of Christians will never have the opportunity to lead someone else to Christ. And we know it's scary, and we know that it's so hard to do that and to start that conversation. But God has called us to be bold witnesses. And if we look back at verse 8, that we're not alone that. Alone, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. That God calls us to be bold witnesses, but then he also empowers us to be bold witnesses. We are empowered by God to do this. As we seek to share with those around us, God has promised that he's going to work in us and through us. I think a lot of us just need to be reminded that the same God who spoke the heavens and earth into existence, the same God whose power upholds the earth, the same power that raised people from the dead, is the same power that works in us and through us as we submit to God. And God, help me to be a bold witness, that he is going to empower us and enable us to do these things. And we have to remember that this is God's story. This is his redemptive plan to bring all peoples back to himself. People here in Amarillo and in Canyon and at WT and in Amarillo College and to the ends of the earth. And we know that God's going to accomplish that. Matthew 24 says that this gospel will go forth as a testimony to all nations. And then at that point, the end's going to come. We see that in Revelation 7. In the end, there will be a day when all that God has started before the foundation of the earth, that it will come to a culmination. We see it in Revelation 7, 9 and 10. A lot of people say that this is the climax of God's redemptive story to bring all these people together. And it says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, tribe, and tongue, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Church, let me encourage you that God is at work. God is at work. He is at work on our college campus. He is at work in our community. He desires to bring people to himself. And I don't get it, and I don't understand it. And if it was me, I would have picked a different way, but God didn't. He has chosen to use you and I to usher people from death to life. He will build this church. The Great Commission will be accomplished. The question is, are we going to play our part? Are we going to do our role? Are we going to be bold witnesses as he fills us with his Spirit and enables us? So we need to remember these two things, that God has called us to be bold witnesses, and His power of the Spirit is going to equip us to do these things. I tell our college students this. It is not by accident that our students live where they live. Whether it's in a dorm or an apartment, it's not an accident where they live. It's not an accident which class you're in and you go in and you sit by these people. It's not an accident that you're in part of this club or you go to this thing. It's not an accident where you work. It's not an accident that each and every day you're around certain people. That's not by accidents or just by chance. It is the work of a sovereign God who has placed you there at this moment and this time so that you can be a light to those around us, so that you can boldly say, hey, can I tell you about how God has changed my life? Can we have a conversation with that? And for you, church, it's not an accident where you work and the people that you are around each day. It's not an accident where you live and the gym that you go to and the people that you're around every single day, right? It's not an accident. Our sovereign Lord has placed us as believers all around this community so that we can be light, so that we can be heralds of the gospel, saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Can I tell you how He has changed my life? Can we have a conversation about that? I want to leave you with this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He says, oh, my brothers and sisters in Christ, if sinners will be damned, at least them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay and not to madly destroy themselves. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. I ask that you pray for us as a BSM as we seek to share the gospel, to connect students, to mobilize Christians, to make a difference on the campus for God's kingdom. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you as a church and for individuals that you would do the same thing. In just a moment, I'm going to close us in prayer. And as we close, if you've placed faith in Christ, if you would say, I'm a believer in Christ, I want to challenge you. I'm going to pray this for you. I'd pray that this week you would ask, God, give me one or two people. God, one or two people that are in my circles around me, people that you've placed there, and God, give me a burden for them. Even now, who are one or two people that you could pray for? That over the next couple of weeks, you could say, God, give me the boldness. God, help me, fill me with your Spirit. Give me the words to say to have a conversation. I want to challenge you, if you're a believer, to do that over the next couple of weeks. And as we pray, if you're here and you've never placed faith in Christ, if you would say that I may have been to church a long time, or maybe this is my first time, as we said earlier, that God loves you, He has a plan for you, but the reality is that we're all separated from Him because of our sin. And that if we accept the free gift that God gives for us, if we say, God, I believe in you, I know you've died for me, then if we accept that free gift, then we are saved and redeemed. If you've never done that, then if even now, if God's piercing your heart and you know that I'm talking to you, then I want to challenge you after the service. There's going to be people up here and they would love to talk to you about that and tell you how you can do that. And so I'm thankful to be here with you today. And let's commit. Let's all be bold witnesses as the Spirit enables us, empowers us. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for today. God, I thank you for this church. God, a church that is focused on you. God, I pray for us as individuals and collectively as your church, God, that you would bring people to mind that we can share with. God, and we would, God, be courageous, that we would step out of our comfort zones and we would talk to them about the thing that has changed our lives. God, help us to be bold, and I pray that you would burden our hearts for that. God, I pray for anyone here who has yet to place faith in you. God, I pray that you would open their eyes, that you would show them how much deeply you love them, God, and how you desire to bring them into your family and forgive them of their sins. God, we pray that as we go this week, God, that you would help us to be mindful of those around us, God, and that we would be heralds of your gospel as we are sent out by you to reach others. God, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.